Okay, good morning, Boker Tov. Welcome back to our weekly Parsha slot, Parsha Perspectives. I want to thank Becky and Avi Katz, dear friends, for sponsoring for the year in memory of Becky's father, David Grossman, David ben Menachem Manish. Our learning should be Le'ili Nishmaso, should serve to elevate his beautiful neshama, his beautiful soul. This Shabbos, we are not going to read a Parsha because it's Shavuos in Chutz La'aretz. I think we deviate from Eretz Yisrael, where they will observe Shavuos on Friday and Shabbos will be Shabbos. For us, Shavuos is both Friday and Shabbos. So rather than read a Parsha, we are going to read the Torah reading for Shavuos. So I thought we would use our time today, rather than Parsha Perspectives, since we're not in fact going to read a Parsha, to study a Shavuos subject and to analyze it together, to prepare to stand at the mountain, to get ready in this final countdown towards Kabbalah HaTorah. It's not Matan Torah, it's not just the giving of the Torah, but it's the receiving of the Torah. And as I say often, this time of year, we're not recreating and we're not simply nostalgically recalling a historical event of the past. We're not just remembering the thousands of years ago we stood at Har Sinai, but rather we're going back to stand at the mountain together. We are collectively going to receive the Torah anew. We're standing at the mountain together. So what I want to examine is, what was spoken at the mountain on that fateful day? What will we hear again ringing in our ears this Friday and Shabbos? And is it different than the rest of Torah? We all know the Aseres HaDibros, the Ten Commandments, known as the Decalogue, the Ten Aseres HaDvarim. The Torah doesn't call it Aseres HaDibros. Torah calls it the Aseres HaDvarim. The Dvarim means the Ten Sayings. These Ten Sayings have such a great significance. The two Luchos, the two tablets that have the Aseres HaDibros, adorn many parochas. They adorn many coverings of arks. They sit on top of the ark. They are beautiful artwork. But do they have a greater or different significance than the rest of Torah? Do we put a primacy, or does it have any superiority over all the rest of the mitzvos that we have been giving? That's our topic. That's what we're going to look at today. A little bit of a deeper understanding of Aseres HaDibros and a closer examination of the first two of Anochi and Losia. So Aseres HaDibros begins the following. Vaydaber Elokim es kol dvarim ha'ila le'mor, Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher hotzeisicha me'eretz Mitzrayim mi'beis avadim. God spoke Hadvarim, not Hadibros, Hadvarim. God spoke these things, and he began, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. He said, nice to meet you. I want to introduce myself. I am the Lord your God. I took you out of Egypt from a house of slavery. Lo yelecha elohim achirim apanai. And don't cheat on me. Don't see any other gods. There are no other gods. I am all that exists. Lo saselecha pesel. Don't make a graven image, and so on and so forth. Rashi already immediately jumps, and Rashi already gives us some insight on the significance or the role of these Aseres HaDibros in a greater and a broader context. Vayomer Hashem HaMoshe, God said to Moshe, La'achar Matan Torah, this is talking about after that historical event, Alei Elai Hahara Ve'yesham, climb on top of the mountain and be there, which was for 40 days. We know the Ten Commandments were given at Har Sinai in that fateful moment of Aseres HaDibros, of Matan Torah, Kabbalah HaTorah. And then Moshe climbed on top of the mountain, and for 40 more days, the rest of Torah was given. Hold on 1 second. And then the rest of Torah was given over the course of those other 40 days. So Rashi says, God spoke to Moshe and he said, come on top of the mountain, Ve'yesham, one of my favorite Divrei Torah. I've shared it often. I'm sure you've heard it from me before. What does it mean, Alei Elai Hahara Ve'yesham, climb on top of the mountain and be there? If Moshe's on top of the mountain, where else would he be? So Rashi says, Arba'im Yom, it means be there, not for a short period of time, but be there Arba'im Yom. Be there for 40 days. Pack your suitcase. Set aside provisions. Get ready. You're not coming for a short stint. It's not a quick visit. Alei Elai Hahara. Climb on top of the mountain and be there. Be there for 40 days. But others, Chassidus Rebbe's give a very beautiful, beautiful insight. Someone so critically important for our generation. And they say, Alei Elai Hahara. God is saying to Moshe, climb on top of the mountain. Ve'yesham. And when you're on top of that mountain, be there. I know at the base of the mountain there's 2 to 3 million people and they're all pulling you in separate directions. I know how many emails and text messages and WhatsApp and calls you have to return. But when you're on top of that mountain, Alei Elai Hahara, climb that mountain, heyesham. When you're on top of that mountain, be there, be with me. And what is he doing? Es luchos ha'evim b'torah v'mitzvah asher kasavti l'horosam. Says Rashi, koshesh mi'osu shlosh esrei mitzvos b'chlal aseres ha'dibros heim. Rashi quotes a tradition that all 613 mitzvos are in fact subsumed. They're all included under the Big Ten. The Ten Commandments represent 10 archetypes, 10 categories, 10 headers. But underneath it, you can categorize all 613 mitzvos. For Rabbeinu Sadia Perish Basaras Shayach Yilchol Dibor V'Dibor Mitzvos Hatzliyos Bo. And Rav Sadia Gaon, in fact, enumerated, elaborated, and said, take all 613 mitzvos, all the mitzvos of the Torah from beginning to end, all 613, and you can subsume them under these 10 principles, these 10 super categories. These are 10 headers. Everything fits under them. So it's not that these 10 out of the 613 have a greater significance or superiority. We are equally obligated in all 613 mitzvos. In fact, none of us are. Can't be a Kohen, Levi, Israel, a man and a woman in Israel, outside of Israel simultaneously. Nobody, in fact, is obligated in all 613 simultaneously. But what it means is we all have 613 mitzvos. These 10 are no greater, no more superior, no different than the other 603. But the other 603 can fit under these 10. That is what Rashi tells us. First of all, where do we get the number 613? So the Gemara towards the end of Makos derives it from a pasuk and begins with that assumption. That when you read the Torah from beginning to end, you have to fit everything you're reading into 613. It's not that we counted the mitzvos and we arrived at 613. It's that we started with the number 613, the secret code to every Jewish briefcase or piece of luggage. And after we began with the number 613, then we have to figure out how do you fit everything in. In fact, our medieval commentators, the Rishonim, who come after the Gemara, all spend time on this. The Rambam and the Ramban and the Sefer HaChinuch and the Bahag and the Smag and the Smak, and the list goes on and on of our great medieval commentaries who say, okay, I'll start with the number 613. Now, how do I look at what seem to be many more than 613 and come up with principles that will enable me to include only in the 613. So Rashi tells us that Aseres HaDibros, the significance of the Ten Commandments of the Decalogue, is not that they're any different or better than the other 603, but they are super categories under which everything fits. The Maharal, source number 3, the great Maharal, Rabbi Deloy of Prague, tells us, Masha Amar Ki Yechzer Kodesh Baruch HaTorah Kol HaUmos Davar Zeh Nizbor B'Mekom. What does it mean that God offered the whole Torah to everybody? Ki HaTorah Hi Mitzad Hashem Yizborach. The Torah is God's word. It's God's diary. We come to know God and love God in two ways. We are exposed to His creation. I just spoke about this last week. I gave a shiur for DRS, the great high school, Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky's school. And I spoke about 5 reasons we learn Torah. And this was one of them, because we come to know God. To know God is to love God. How do you know God? Through the Grand Canyon, the Swiss Alps. How do you know God? Through the Golan and the Galil. How do you know God? Through seeing the beauty and the magnificence of His world, chemistry, biology, physics. But we best know God through His word, through His diary, through Torah. Since Torah is God's diary, God's word, Shayeches Lakol, everyone has access. Torah is the ultimate and the highest wisdom. Torah is the direct word. God dictated every word of the Torah. And therefore, it is the closest and greatest representation and reflection we have of Hashem. Shayeches l'chol ha'umos. It belongs in the dresser drawer of every hotel across the United States of America. It belongs in every context, because everyone from every nation, all of humanity, deserve access. Rak mitzad ha'mekabel shayeches l'Yisrael dafka. So from the perspective of the giver, since it is God's spoken word, it's His to give. He gave it, He offered it, He made it accessible to all. From the perspective of the receiver, the recipient, the Jewish people, we have a special relationship. In other words, if my great-grandfather wrote a diary, and it's published online, or published somewhere, everyone has equal access to the diary from the perspective of the one who wrote it, authored it, and made it available. But in the end of the day, it's my great-grandfather. I'm his descendant and progeny. My relationship as the one who receives and has access to that diary is going to be different than those who are not related or related more distantly. We were Mekabel. This was the experience of Har Sinai. God gave the Torah to all, but by articulating these 10 commandments and our receiving them and our getting greater access to Him, hearing from Him the first 2 directly, articulated by the Almighty directly, we became the Mekabel, we became the recipient of the Torah, and that established an even different and closer relationship with the author, with Hashem. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Peches, source number 4, tells us, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, May dechsev Hashem yitein omer amivasros tzavarav, kol diba v'diva shiyotzim pi agvura, nechlak l'shivim l'shonos. Every statement that Hashem spoke, Hashem speaking is different than the way we speak. When we speak, you can only hear one syllable, one word at a time. Kadosh Baruch Hu was able to say one thing, and yet it entered our ears. We absorbed from it multiple things. Shamar v'zachar b'dibur echad. He said, the first commandments we have zachar, the second commandments we have shamar. And nevertheless, b'dibur echad. He spoke two things. He said it as one, we heard it as two. But moreover, the Gemara here tells us something extraordinary, that God spoke, and it was simultaneously simulcast in 70 different languages. Nobody had to wear headphones, not like the United Nations, where one speaker spoke their language, their native language, and everyone else wears headphones to hear simultaneous translation. God spoke one thing, kol dibur v'dibur sh'yatan pi agvura. Each thing Hashem said, it absorbed, it transmitted to us in 70 different languages. Extraordinary. The Medrash tells us in Bamidbar, Shetaryag mitzvahs belulos bahen, ves motzei taryag osios, yishmin anochi ala shelo re'echa, keneged taryag mitzvahs. How do we know that the Ten Commandments are not trying to replace or be superior, greater than the rest of mitzvos? Says the Medrash, because there are 613 letters from the beginning of Anochi until the end of the Re'echa. From the beginning of the Ten Commandments until the end, count the letters. I didn't. I hope it works out. But the Medrash says, if you count, you will find 613. V'zayin yeseros k'neged zayin yemei breishis. There's seven extra letters. The count is off by seven. And that seven, we also have a symbol, the 7 days of creation, lamercha, to teach us shekola olam lo nivra ela b'schus haTorah, that the whole world was created only in the merit of Torah. So here the Medrash itself alludes to what we saw in Rashi earlier, that these ten are no greater than the other commandments. They are, in fact, headlines, their headers, their categories, everything fits in. And the way to know that is if you count the letters from Anochi to the end of the Re'echa, and you subtract the seven that represent creation, you'll have 613 letters to say that the 613 mitzvahs are all subsumed, they're all included, they're all alluded to, they all fall into the categories of these ten, of these Aseres HaDibros. If you're watching on Facebook, first of all, good morning to you. God bless. Thank you for joining us. The source sheets that we're reading are on the Zoom share. Or if you watch on YouTube, if you go over to youtube.com/Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg, you'll be able to see the source sheets as we go there as well. Source number six is the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos tells us a practice that we don't have, but many don't even know that our rabbis entertained before rejecting it. And what is it? Koran Aseres HaDibro Shema V'Hayim Shema V'Yomer Emes V'Yatzi V'Avoda U'Birchas Kohanim. The rabbis earlier ordained, the Mishnah tells us, that every day, as part of our liturgy and our davening, we wouldn't just say the parts familiar to us, Shema, V'Hayim Shema, V'Yomer, Emes V'Yatziv, and Birchas Kohanim, that we all say, but the rabbis, in fact, introduced the recitation of the Aseres HaDibros. Every day, review the Teilugah Ten Commandments. Amar Rav Yudah, Amar Shmuel, but the Gemara says, Af Begvulin Bikshu L'Kros Kain. Originally, they instituted to do it in the Beis HaMikdash, but they sages wanted to do it everywhere, not only at the Beis HaMikdash in the temple, wherever Jews lived. Ela shekvar bitlum. However, the rabbis abolished that practice. Why? Because Jews complained, Tircha de Tzibura took too long? No. Mibnei tarumas haminim. Because of the arguments of the heretics. The rabbis understood there was a great danger of the influence, the impact of the heretics, and therefore they they annulled the practice of saying the Aseres HaDibros daily. Tanya Nami Hachi, the Gemara continues, Rav Nasan Omer, Begvulin Bikshu L'Kros Kain, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, they wanted to read the Aseres HaDibros daily, Ela Shekvar Bitlum Neterim Zaminim. But they canceled it, they nullified it for this reason. Rashi telsus, source 7, what was the Tarum Zaminim? What was the danger? What was the problem? So what if we read the Aseres HaDibros every day? We have a beautiful davening and a beautiful sitter, and join us for our daily sitter snippet so that we delve into the deeper meaning and purpose behind each and every sentence and letter of davening. We began with Moda'ani, and we're all the way up to today, Az Yashir. We're making our way through all of davening. So what? There was no room to squeeze in a little Aseres HaDibros? So Rashi says, you know what the problem was? Shelo yomru la'ami ha'aretz, ein shar Torah emes. What was the danger? The heretics would say, you know why we read the Aseres HaDibros? Because the rest of Torah is not that important. The rest of Torah is secondary. The rest of the Torah is not nearly as authoritative. Only Aseres HaDibros, only the Ten Commandments that were given by God at Har Sinai, that's genuine, that's real, that's authentic. The rest of Torah, It's secondary. The rest of Torah comes second. So in order to avoid somebody saying that, the rabbi said, you know what? It's a bad idea to put the Aseres HaDibros up on a pedestal. It's a bad idea to highlight or extract the Aseres HaDibros from the rest of Torah, because if you do, what is the great danger? That a Jew is going to say, you know what? I don't kill. I don't steal. I don't have an adulterous affair. I don't worship a pagan or an idol. I'm covered on the Big Ten. The rest, they're not as important. God sent through an email. That God sent through Moshe. The only ones that he gave directly are the Aseres HaDibros. And if we would recite them, celebrate them, sing them daily in our davening, that might reinforce a mistaken notion that the Aseres HaDibros are greater or different or better than the rest of Torah. So therefore we annulled, and I know many of you are smiling because you're happy, anything we can do to shorten davening. This morning we resumed davening at Boker Raton Synagogue. It was mamash a yontif. I can't tell you how much I feel like today is different. 242 straight Shmona Esrei, 242 straight davenings that we all did alone. And this morning, tremendous gratitude to Hashem, spaced 8 feet apart, everyone only with masks, pre-registered, every precaution we could take outdoors. But we resumed minyanim, and mamash, it felt like ne'ila, the opening kaddish. So we began with yishtabach, because we're trying to minimize the davening, minimize the overlap in the time we're together. So we began with yishtabach. So we didn't get rid of the Aseres HaDibros because it's one of the negotiable areas of davening, and we're trying to shorten or minimize the davening. Rashi says, no, there was a very good reason we did. Mibnei Taromas Haminim. We wanted to preclude or avoid heretics from saying that, you see, the Ten Commandments, the Big Ten, are bigger and greater than everything else. This led the Rambam to make a fascinating comment. A tshuva of the Rambam that was only discovered later, not part of our early library of the Rambam's writings. And the Rambam says, if the Gemara originally said we recite Aseres HaDibros, Ten Commandments daily, and then the rabbis rejected and went back for fear that people would pay greater attention and only commit to observe the Ten Commandments and neglect the rest, then maybe we shouldn't be standing for them when they're read in shul. Because isn't that going to achieve the exact same unintended consequence and result? Says the Rambam, he's asked, should we stand for Aseres HaDibros? And I don't include the question here, but the question was fascinating, because the question says, our custom is to stand, but there's a new rabbi who says to sit, and do we listen to the old rabbi and the established custom, do we listen to the new rabbi? So the Rambam writes, Zesher Nirga Riga Neftar, Leshev Huaroi. What your previous rabbi, your previous custom was to sit, was correct. Varayosav, Enit Rayos Nachonos, Lofidina Anshat Yun, Ve'en Lahosiv Aleim. And his evidence that your previous rabbi gave for why you should remain seated when you read the Aseres HaDibros were very compelling. And that was the correct thing to do. And the Rambam writes, not only do you have the correct practice to sit, any community that has the practice to stand during the reading of the Aseres HaDibros, one should protest and object. One should insist that people sit. Why? Because it's going to cause a lapse of emuna. It's going to mistakenly lead people to believe that some parts of Torah are more significant than others. And people will end up rejecting or dismissing or minimizing the rest of our sacred Torah. So what your new rabbi tells you that the minhag in Baghdad and elsewhere is to stand for Aseres HaDibros, that is not evidence. If you find that some people are sick, you don't spread the contagion of the illness, but rather you cut out the illness and heal it. So the fact that you can point to communities that do the wrong thing is not evidence for why you should join and do the wrong thing. Rather, cut out the illness at its source, heal that illness, and don't make it contagious to you. So the Rambam's Eish L'Hava, the Rambam's very strong, that just like the rabbi said, stop saying the Aseres HaDibros out loud, it's going to lead to heresy where people think that these Ten Commandments are greater or better, or more binding than the rest of Torah. Similarly, don't stand when the Ten Commandments are read, because people will draw the same erroneous conclusion, that these Ten Commandments are greater or more important than others. And the Rambam concludes, V'ashra b'sum panim la'asos b'tora mitzasa b'ulam mitzasa, and God forbid, it's a ziyaf ha-Torah. You are, it's a bizarin ha-Torah. You are distorting Torah. If you would suggest that parts of Torah are more sacred, more significant than other parts, therefore stop saying Aseres HaDibros in davening and stop standing for Aseres HaDibros in shul. So I ask you, the wonderful, beautiful crowd that has gathered to learn together this morning, tell me, what's your custom? Our custom is still to stand for Aseres HaDibros. Almost every shul I know stands for Aseres HaDibros. How do we do this Keneged HaRambam? How do we do this? What is the response? What is the answer? The Rambam is making a pretty compelling argument based on the Mishnah we saw earlier that said that they stopped reading Aseres HaDibros as part of davening. So the Tzitz Eliezer of Eliezer Waldenberg Zatzal, source number 9. He quotes, he has a long tshuva about this. This is the end of the tshuva. Mikol halanira beged barer halacha she'ein l'shanas minag b'nei Yisrael u'minag avos v'lam minag ha'makam hazeh. Umideni kizeh aseros mishanim she'espalati b'bati kinesis v'yeshivos v'olei Torah kan b'ir ha'kodesh. Im ga'onim tzadikim kidoshei elyon z'chusim yogen aleinu v'kulam himshichu b'resis l'hachzik l'hazik ha'minag v'zeh l'amaz b'shas kriyas aseros ha'dibros v'ashkacha she'yatiyan lo yifrishu mizeh. So he says the following, says the Tzitz Eliezer, he has a tshuva offering arguments against the Rambam and defending the practice of why it's okay to stand. But then he inserts something that I find fascinating. And he says, you know what the most compelling reason to continue doing this minhag is? Because it's what I saw in my childhood. Says the Tzitz Eliezer, when I grew up here in Yerushalayim, I saw Gaonim, Tzadikim, Kedoshei Elyon. You think they didn't know the Rambam's position? You think they didn't know that Gemara that says that we stop saying Aseres HaDibros and davening? You think you're holier, you're more righteous, you're more scrupulous, you're more vigilant, you're greater than they were? No. I saw the biggest Tamid HaChamim, the biggest Gaonim, the biggest Tzadikim, the biggest Kedoshei Elyon. They did it. If it was good enough for them, it's good enough for us. And if you think we're going to introduce a new Chumrah, says the Tzitz Eliezer, and we're now going to say, nobody can stand for Aseres HaDibros, Chumrah of the week. The new Chumrah is not to stand. We don't want to suggest these Ten Commandments are superior, greater than the rest of Torah. You have to know that there is an unintended negative consequence of introducing such a Chumrah. You're being motzi laz. What are you suggesting about those who came before? What are you saying about your parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents? What are you saying about the Gaonim, the Rosh Yeshivas, the Tzadikim, the Gedolei Yisrael who came before? It was good enough for them, but not good enough for us for now. So within every Chumrah is a Kula. You think it's a stringency, you're going to be strict and stringent and not stand for Aseres HaDibros. You think you've adopted a new stringency. Know that within that stringency is a leniency, namely, you're being motzi laz, you're reflecting negatively, you're spreading Lashon Hara about those who came before. And therefore says the Tzitz Eliezer, based on his own arguments, and mostly based on this, that if it was good enough for them, it's good enough for me. And with the Rambam's covered aside, if the practice was always to stand, we can continue to stand. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal Zatshuva 2, source number 10. And he writes, let me just make this a little bit bigger because I'm not as young as many of you and I can't see anything. Okay. Rav Moshe writes, V'kevan shezehu inyan acher eina b'chlam ha shebatlu akri l'fi zeh ein l'damas milsa l'milsa kisvaros eila elicha bo eila ma shenetzer kvar v'lo l'melef mizeh davar chodesh l'kach nira de'ein l'shanas min ha-minag v'hu k'chom minag sh'af ilu sh'boi mimakum sh'lanogu k'ein asa k'din ha'yishana adam ne'ha machlokas. Says Rav Moshe, who says the tzushtel, who says the comparison is accurate? The Gemara was worried, Chazal, our rabbis were worried, stop reciting Aseres HaDibros, it's going to lead to heresy. Who says you're entitled to compare that to standing for Aseres HaDibros? Yes, I understand the basis of the comparison, but the rabbis never said that. We don't introduce new stringencies or practices beyond what the rabbis were afraid of. They were afraid of the recitation of Aseres HaDibros. They never spoke about not standing for Aseres HaDibros, says Rav Moshe. Therefore, we remain only with the limitation that they gave, and we don't expand or extend that limitation to other circumstances, namely to not standing for Aseres HaDibros. And therefore, Rav Moshe says, no problem, keep standing. What about the Halakha Rav Avadya? Rav Avadya Zatzal, I'm reading the sikkum, the summary of his tshuva on this issue, source number 11. Says Rav Avadya, Asur l'tzibur l'yachad l'am b'shas kriyas aseres hadibros, v'yachad ha'nimtza b'beis kines sh'nor gembo sh'akal omir ha'rag l'b'shas kriyas aseres hadibros, ein yadu l'shanas b'minhagam, yakdim l'amud k'tchilis kriyas ha'parsha, v'l'chol ha'pachos yama b'tchilis kriyas ha'ul ha'sefer Torah, sh'huz malikra ha'parsha aseres hadibros, v'ay k'day sh'lo yek k'yoshi b'na omdim, k'mizaz v'kdush aseres hadibros. Rav Avadya paskins like the Rambam. And Rav Avadya says the Rambam's right. You can't stand for Aseres HaDibros. Just like we don't read it because we don't want to give the misimpression it's greater than the rest of Torah, so too we also don't stand for it. So Rav Avadya says, but what do? If you walk into a shul where almost universally, at least Ashkenazi shuls, almost universally the practice is to stand for Aseres HaDibros, what do? To sit, you can't do. That's below Sisko to do. It's a biblical prohibition to not conform to the crowd. To stand, how could you do that? The Rambam said, don't stand for Aseres HaDibros. Don't suggest or imply it's greater than the rest of Torah. What do you do? Says Rav Avadya, I'll tell you exactly what to do. Aseres HaDibros is read from the middle of the Aliyah. Don't get up in the middle of the Aliyah. Stand up from the beginning of the Aliyah. And if you stand up either from the beginning of the reading of the Torah or you stand up for the beginning of the Aliyah, then you're not only standing for the Aseres HaDibros and you're able to fulfill both. You're joining the rest of that tzibur who stand, but you're also not singling out the Aseres HaDibros. You're standing for the rest of that Aliyah or the rest of that Kriyas HaTorah. And in fact, that is the halachic conclusion that Rav Moshe Sternbach Shlita arrives at as well. Rav Sternbach says that first he quotes the practice, and then he says, "Vanitam alam alon lachlok al Rambam. Why are we still standing for Aseres HaDibros? What happened to the Rambam?" So he answers in the left-hand column, "Divar Rambam in Neflom ve'ein lozos mimenu." The Rambam's concern is significant. Rak bizman hazeh lo chashinu taromas haminim. But today we're not worried. Heretics go off the derech for a lot of reasons. Thinking Aseres HaDibros is greater than the Torah ain't one of them. I've never had a conversation with someone who says, I'm going off to secular college and I'm thinking about walking away from Judaism. I'm dating this nice non-Jewish girl and I'm thinking about getting married to her. Torah and mitzvahs are no longer binding on me. I'm ready to walk away. Why? Why are you doing all of that? Well, because everyone stands for Aseres HaDibros. So clearly those are the only 10 that matter. So as long as I don't murder, I don't kill, I don't have an affair, and I don't bow down to an idol, and I honor my parents, I'm good to go. Nobody's ever said that to me. No one ever said that to Rav Moshe Sternbach. So he said that fear of Taromas Haminim, that it's going to lead to heresy, is no longer a compelling fear today. However, he does say, Yesh Eitzel and Yaz Daiti, let me give you a suggestion. Lotzeis Lekuleyama, says Rav Sternbach, we can make everybody happy. We can make the Rambam happy, and we can still honor the Aseres HaDibros. How? Just like with Kriya Shema, if you're sitting, you're not allowed to stand in the middle. So we stand from the beginning of Kriya Shema, or you sit at the beginning of Kriya Shema. Whatever posture you're in has to start from the beginning. Similarly, with Kriya Satorah, says Rav Sternbach, stand from the beginning of that Aliyah. Stand from the beginning of the reading of the Torah that morning. And therefore, you're fulfilling both. On the one hand, you're standing for Aseres HaDibros and honoring the Aseres HaDibros. On the other hand, you're not suggesting that it is of greater significance or holiness than the rest of the Torah because you're standing for the whole Aliyah. And I can tell you that is our practice at the Boker Tzon Synagogue. Our minhag is that we stand from the beginning of the Aliyah. The Gabbai doesn't give a clap in the middle and tell everybody to stand in the middle, but rather we announce right before the beginning of that Aliyah that this Aliyah contains the Aseres HaDibros. Everyone please rise from the beginning of the Aliyah until it's over. And that way we fulfill both, not suggesting that Aseres HaDibros should stand out or be considered greater than the rest of the Torah reading. Rabbi Soloveitchik Zatzal had another answer, a very beautiful answer. You ever notice in the Chumash, you're following along on Shavuos to the reading of the Aseres HaDibros, and you get lost because you say, the Baal Koreh is not following the trop that appears in my Chumash. He's not pausing, and he's not ending the psukim the way they appear in my Chumash. What's going on over here? Why am I lost? So Art Scroll has a little note in the beautiful Art Scroll Stone Chumash, and they'll send you to the back of the Chumash, where they have an alternative reading and punctuation and the trop that's given for the Aseres HaDibros. It is a reflection of our Mesorah, what we call the Tam Tachton and the Tam Elyon. We have two versions or two ways of reading the Aseres HaDibros. Either the lower version with one cantillation, one set of punctuation, or the upper version with a different set of punctuation, with a different set of cantillation. Why do we have these two sets? So Rabbi Soloveitchik says, for the following reason. In the left-hand column, let's read for the sake of time. I want to get through these source sheets with you in this amazing topic. I want to get back to the deeper significance of the first two that God spoke himself. Hine kriya sator shebachsav miskayim betoros kriya psukim v'chol psuka delo paskin emosha ana lo paskinim. When we read the Torah, we're doing so, we're fulfilling reading verses, so much so that the halacha mandates, the halacha tells us, you're not allowed to divide the psukim in a different way than Moshe did. You're not allowed to cut off part of a pasuk, and you can't add on to a pasuk. We're only allowed to read the psukim in the way and in the order that Moshe read them. V'lachein b'kriyas ha-Torah da'alma da'avikiyam shal Talmud Torah barabim kol ha-kriya mischalakas lafi psukim. Ordinarily, when we read the Torah, we are fulfilling a mission and a mandate, an obligation of Kriya Satorah. We ordain, just like we can't go 3 days without water, we can't go 3 days without Torah. We've gone a lot more than 3 days without Kriya Satorah, and we're all dehydrated. We're spiritually parched. We're desperate to hear the Torah read again. But it was established that we read the Torah Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos in order to ensure that there wouldn't be 3 days without Torah reading, so we would not spiritually dehydrate, just like you can't live 3 days without water. So there's the Kriyas HaTorah. Kriyas HaTorah, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, is a key of Talmud Torah. I'm learning. We are learning together through Kriyas HaTorah. And therefore, it has to be divided according to the Psukim. Lefi min ha'gosh, anu korona seres adibris b'tam ha'elyon, muchach de'inza kiyam rogil b'tam ha'torah, kriyas Torah, shebechsav levad, el kiyam de kriyas zecha l'maymer ha'sinai, ashal kein mischalka kriya l'adibros v'lo l'psukim. Said Rabbi Soloveitchik, ta'am tachton, the lower set of punctuation and cantillation, shows Aseres HaDibros in the context of a regular Torah reading. Regular Torah reading is a fulfillment of Torah learning, and it has to be divided according to the Pesukim the way Moshe did. But on Shavuos, we don't read with the Tam Tachton. We don't follow the ordinary punctuation and cantillation the way it appears in the Chumash. We read with the Tam Elyon, the alternate set of punctuation and cantillation. Why? Because our reading on Shavuos is not fit into the regular fulfillment of learning Torah collectively. Why are we reading on Shavuos? Because we are reliving Har Sinai. We are standing at the mountain together. Rabbi Soloveitchik elaborated so beautifully that the Torah is read from a bima, an elevated platform, just like Har Sinai. That we have two gabayim on either side, just like when Moshe started to ascend the mountain. He had Yoshua, he was surrounded. That all of the parts of Torah reading, particularly on Shavuos, are a recreation, are a revisiting the experience of Har Sinai. So we're reading with the Tam Elyon. And therefore, he says, that's why we stand. You're right. If it were an ordinary reading of the Torah, to read these Ten Commandments and stand only for these and not others would suggest that these ten are superior, they're greater. And then we'd run the risk of the Taromas Aminim, that heretics would reject the rest of the 603 and only keep these ten. But said Rabbi Soloveitchik, we're not reading them with the Tam Tachton, and therefore we don't have that risk. We're reading them with the Tam Elyon. We're reading them in the context of reliving Har Sinai. In the context of reliving Har Sinai, Taka, these ten were given. Hashem did not give all 603 at Har Sinai. He gave these ten. And therefore, when we go back to Har Sinai, when we relive and recreate Har Sinai, we also do so with these ten, honor them by standing, and it's not a problem. The minag didon shanu korah mitam elyon lo b'toras kriyas psukim v'kiyam kriya b'toras shebechzav ela b'toras dibros zeichel amamar Har Sinai. We're not dividing them based on psukim. We're dividing them based on commandments. When you divide them based on commandments, which is the alternate tam elyon, the reading with the punctuation and the trup. Recreating the way it was given at Har Sinai, as nimtza sha'anu omdim, ein b'chdei laharos yisron hachashivus miyuchedus laseres adibros asher kol Torah kula. We're not showing a superiority or a greatness of these ten over the other 603. We're simply recreating Har Sinai, just like these ten were given Har Sinai and not the other 603. So too, we stand for these ten, even if we don't ordinarily stand for the other 603. So we saw this subject within our subject, that the Mishnah says we used to say Aseres HaDibros in davening. And the Gemara says the rabbis canceled, they annulled that practice. Why? Because they saw that the heretics were only keeping the 10, not the other 603. The Rambam says if that's the case, don't stand for the Aseres HaDibros. We run that same risk. Tzitz Eliezer says, nice idea, Rambam, but that's not our practice. I saw righteous people, they all stood for the Aseres HaDibros, we're not worried. Rav Moshe also said, not worried. The fear in the sitter is not the same fear for the Torah reading in shul, and therefore we can maintain and preserve our custom of standing for Aseres HaDibros. Rav Avadi Yosef said, no, the Rambam's right. We don't stand for Aseres HaDibros. What do you do if you're in a shul that's standing? Stand from the beginning of that aliyah. And Rav Sternbach thought that's a good practice for everybody. Indeed, that's our custom at Boca Raton Synagogue. We stand from the beginning of the aliyah. But Rabbi Soloveitchik also defends the practice of not standing for the whole aliyah, only standing for the Aseres HaDibros. Why? Because if they're read as part of the Tam Elyon, not Tam Tachton, if they're read as Dibros, as commandments, not read as Psukim, as verses, then you're able to stand for them. You're not differentiating them because you're simply recalling history in which those ten were undebatably separated from the other 603. Okay, let's get back to our topic. So, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Rav Chaim Ben Attar, says in Source 14, page 5, he says, quotes Chazal, the rabbis in the Zohar, Shekola Torah Kula Remuza Baseres HaDibros, the whole Torah it was hinted to, is alluded to, in the Ten Commandments. The Medrash gave us one allusion, 613 letters corresponds with the 613 mitzvahs, all contained in the Aseres HaDibros. V'hu omro lemor perish dvarim elu, yishpem imar sacheros klulos v'rumuzos. There are all kinds of allusions and hints. V'reisi lases tov tam v'ashmos Hashem l'Yisrael beiz dibros. But the Arachaim says, while the Ten Commandments subsume the rest of Torah, the first two are even categorically different within the Ten. So you have the 613, and among them the 10 of the 10 commandments. And within the 10 commandments, the first two are even more significant than the other eight. Why are they more significant? Because these first two, Hashem said directly to us. After the first two, Jewish people said, we can't take it. We can't withstand it. Hashem said, fine. Moshe, you give the other eight. But the first two, Hashem transmitted, He communicated, He articulated to us directly, not through an emissary, not through an agent. He gave it to us directly. So these first two have a greater significance. Anochi and Lo Yelecha. That I am the Lord your God and don't have other gods. Why these two? So the Rechaim HaKadosh says, Kihim Beis Shurashim LeBeis Kolos HaMitzvos. Because contained within these first two is the totality of mitzvos. So the 613 are all in the 10, and the 10 are all in the first two. How? Mitzvos Asei or Mitzvos Lo Sasei. Our Torah can be divided into positive commandments and negative commandments. Anochi hi ikar v'shorash kol mitzvos asei. So the first commandment, to know that there Hashem is the Lord our God, it contains, if we know positively that Hashem is our God, then we also know that what He tells us we're bound by. So therefore, we have positive commandments. And lo yielecha, not to have other gods, is the source, it subsumes all the negative commands. Ikar v'shorash kol mitzvos lo sasei. L'zeh nata Hashem b'hem mipi'al yo'yon shorashay beiz ikarei ha-mitzvos. So God spoke those first two. Even when Hashem chose to only communicate the bare minimum, the first two, nevertheless, He didn't go down to one, He did two. Why did He do two? Says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, because those first two really contain all 613. The Torah can be divided between positive and negative commandments, Asei and Los Asei. Anochi includes all the mitzvahs Asei, and Losia, don't have other gods, includes all the mitzvahs Los Asei, the negative commandments about not being allowed to worship others. The Tanya, the Heilig Baal Tanya, of Shnei Zama of the Adi, the Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, and his Tanya, in chapter 20, he expands on this. He says, V'nei moda zos lachom ki mitzvahs v'asaros, rozai shnei shnei dibros harishonos, anochi v'lo yelecha, him klolos kol ha-Torah kula. These first two have everything. Ki dibor anochi kolo kol ramach mitzvahs asei, lo yelecha kolo koshes ha-mitzvahs los asei, v'lachin shamanu anochi v'lo yelecha, levad b'pi ha-gvura, just like the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, the Baal Tanya says, these first two contain everything. Rabbi Steinsaltz, should live and be well, of Rafua Shlema, has a beautiful commentary on the Tanya. As you can see here, it doesn't come across so clearly in the source sheets. The bolded line is the translation of Tanya, and the commentary is the unbolded in between. That's why Rav Steinsaltz's commentary on the Tanya is volumes and volumes and volumes long, because when he elaborates and explains and elucidates Tanya, which I personally struggled to learn without him, is really brilliant and beautiful, and he really elaborates so beautifully. So let me share with you his commentary on these lines of the Tanya. Commandment refers to the positive commandments and admonition to the prohibitions, which are contained in the first. Anochi is asei, and lo yielecha is lo sasei. Writes Rabbi Steinsaltz, the first two commandments deal with one topic, the negation of our idolatry in all forms. The proclamation, I am the Lord your God, is the general negation of the existence of idolatry. You shall not have any other gods, is the explicit prohibition of its worship. But beyond this particular meaning, these two commandments include within themselves the entire Torah. Anochi has the 248 positive. All the positive commandments are the way to be connected to the very self of Hashem until He becomes the Lord your God. How do you get to Anochi Hashem Elokecha? I am your God. The way we reflect, the way we express that He is indeed our God is by keeping the positive commandments. So He's the Anochi. That doesn't depend or rely on us. Hashem is Anochi. Hashem is the dominant, providential God. Whether we accept Him, recognize Him, obey Him or not, that is up to Him, the Anochi. But Hashem Elokecha, that He's our God, relies and depends, is conditioned on our observing the mitzvah asei, the positive commandments. While the commandment, Lo Sielecha, that you cannot have, contains all 365 prohibitions. Every transgression is a form of idolatry. At times this is clear-cut, and at other times murky. At times a transgression results from conscious rebellion. At other times from a spirit of folly that persuades a person from what he's doing is not quite idolatrous, that he remains a good Jew still attached to sanctity. If one were to experience in its full poignancy and clarity the truth of Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Lo Sielecha, one would never be able to sin. This truth is expressed in the statement of the sages. When a person grows angry, it's as though he's worshipping idols. An angry person, like any other transgressor, has established his ego as the determining factor of reality. I want, I deserve. We face a choice between ourselves and God. Either I've created myself and I do all that my heart desires, or God is the creator and king of the universe, and I connect to him, knowing I cannot disengage myself from him at any time under any circumstances. These commandments are thus meaningful not only in their narrow purview of idolatry, but in the greater realm of Jewish existence. Thus, they function as the basis of all the commandments, positive and negative, in all the pathways of one's life. Such a beautiful explanation and elucidation of Rav Steinsaltz. Here's what he's saying. Every time you violate Hashem's word, every time you go against Hashem's will, you're essentially choosing to worship your desire, your need, rather than submit to him. That's a form of idolatry. Don't serve any other god. Well, when given the choice between doing what God wants or what you want, when you do what you want, you're serving yourself. That's idolatry. That is the textbook definition of idolatry. So that means that all 365 prohibitions are subsumed and included under don't worship any other god. Don't worship any other god means don't worship the god of the style and the motif and whatever is the mori of the day. Don't worship the contemporary morals and ethics if they're different than what God tells us. Don't worship your own appetite and temptation, your own ego. All 365 negative commandments, don't violate them. And if you do, that in itself reflects that you worshipped something other than what Hashem wanted you to worship. Such a beautiful idea. That's what it means, that they're all subsumed under that. The opposite's also true. How do you show that Hashem is our God? How do you show that Anochi is, in fact, Elokecha, your God, when you fulfill the 248 positive commandments? So that's what the Baal HaTanya is saying. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh both say, why did God speak to us the first two of the ten? Because in those first two of the ten is all 613. Meaning that the overarching theme of all mitzvos is to draw us close to God, is to show that we are submitting our will to His, is to follow His prescription and formula for meaning, purpose, and happiness in our lives. So that's the choice that we have, to submit or to worship ourselves. When we submit, we appoint Him the Elokecha, we make Him our God. But when we, in fact, compete, when we abandon, when we violate the 365, then we are violating Losi Alecha, not to have another God. So we've gone from the 613 to the 10, and we've gone from the 10 to the 2, and now we're going to go from the 2 to the first one. Let's talk about this opening mitzvah. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Wake any Jew in the middle of the night and say, what is the first of the 10 commandments? And they will tell you, I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. Anochi, they may not do it in that voice. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am the Lord your God. In fact, the Rambam, when he counts the mitzvahs in the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam counts that as taka, the first of the Ten Commandments. Mitzvah Aleph. Hatzivo yasher tzivano b'ha'amanas alukus, v'hu shena'am in sh'yesh shem aloka, v'sibah hu po'a kol amtsayim, v'hu amro anochi Hashem alokecha. The first of the Ten Commandments is a commandment to have faith, trust, the belief that there is a God, to know that there is a first cause who is the source of everything that exists. And that's all included in Anochi Hashem Elokecha. It's all included in Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am the Lord your God. He quotes the Gemara, then the Makos, the Tariq Mitzvahs, Nemar, the Moshe Mitzinai, 613 were given, but they all go back to Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Everything is a result and a consequence. Everything flows from the foundation of Anochi. I am the Lord your God. 613 down to 10, down 10 down to 2, 2 down to the first one. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban here writes in his commentary on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, it's on the right-hand column, and the Ramban says, no, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, in fact, is not a commandment. There are 10 commandments, but the first one is not Anochi. That's not a commandment. What is it? It is an observation of a reality. Ha'emuna b'mitziyuso yisala shodiyo osa eleinu, ba'osos v'movsim, it's not included in the count. He's quoting others, the Bahag and others, the Ramban, who agree with him. Anochi Hashem Elokecha is not a mitzvah. What do you mean it's not a mitzvah? How can it not be a mitzvah? It is the supreme. It is the highest form. It is from which all the other mitzvahs flow. How can it not be a mitzvah? So the answer is, it's so fundamental and foundational. It's so core to our very existence. It's not a mitzvah. It's a description of a reality. You know what else is not a mitzvah in the Taryag? There is no mitzvah to breathe. No mitzvah to breathe. It doesn't appear in the Shulchan Aruch that you have to breathe. There are no debates in halachic literature. How many breaths you have to take, a minute, an hour, how deep your breath has to be. There is no mitzvah to breathe. Why is there no mitzvah to breathe? Because if you're not breathing, you're not alive. There's no mitzvah to breathe because it is the basis of life. Without it, you don't even get started. So mitzvahs tell us how to live that life, but there is no life without breathing. And says the Bahag and the Ramban, the same is true about God. The notion that there is a God is not in itself a commandment. It'd be a pretty ironic commandment. Why do you have to believe I'm here? Because I command you to believe I'm here. You talk about a paradox, an irony. Why do I believe in God? Because he commanded me. Well, who says he can command me if I didn't believe in him to begin with? So the Ramban and the Bahag say, the notion of belief of God is not in fact a commandment. It's not a mitzvah. It's not the first of the Aseres HaDibros. It is a reality. It's like the air that we breathe. It's the foundation. You're not spiritually alive if you don't begin the conversation with, there is Anochi Hashem Elokecha, there is a Lord who created the entire world. So the Ramban quotes the Bahag and seems to agree with him here in Sefer HaMitzvos, though in his commentary on Yisro seems to disagree. The Ramban seems to be a stira, a contradiction of the Ramban between his Hasaga, his commentary on Sefer HaMitzvos, and his commentary on Parshas Yisro. But the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam. The Rambam says the first of the Aseres HaDibros, the source of all Dibros, of all Mitzvos, is to believe and submit that there is Hashem who commands. The Ramban and Bahag said, what are you talking about? That's not a mitzvah. That makes no sense to be a mitzvah. You can't say, I believe in God because he commanded me to believe, because that makes no sense logically. Rather, it's like breathing. It's a reality. It's an observation. It's a statement. Anochi Hashem Elokecha is a statement, not a command. The Aseres HaDibros begin with the second, and now you got to recalculate how you're going to get to your 10, but it does not include the first. Here in Parshas Yisro, the Ramban seems to agree with the Rambam. He writes, HaDibor HaZeh Mitzvah HaSeh, Amar Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Yoro V'Yitzav Osom She'idu V'Yaminu Ki Yesh Hashem, V'U Elokim Zeh, Klomar, Ho V'Kadmam Eto HaYakol K'chevit V'Yicholos, that Hashem is the source, the core of everything, that is the first commandment of the Ten Commandments, to believe in Hashem. To believe in Hashem. So we've gone from 6:13 to 10, from 10 to 2, from 2 maybe to 1, debatable whether you get to 1 or not, that is a machlokas. Do we have the 1, or is the first 1, Anochi, really a statement and an observation more than it is a command? The Ibn Ezra asks a great question, source number 19. Rav Avram Ibn Ezra quotes, She'ilani Rabbi Yehuda Halevi Menuchaso Kavod. He quotes from Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi might have been his brother-in-law, his son-in-law, a distant cousin, or an acquaintance. There's a debate among historians exactly the relationship between the Ibn Ezra and Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. Who is Rabbi Yehuda Halevi? Rabbi Yehuda Halevi is the author of the Kuzari, which we'll see in a moment, the great work, the Kuzari. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi also was the author of countless poems and liturgy and piyutim and kinos we read on Tisha B'Av. Tzion Halo Tishali, all the longing of Tzion is Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, story of how he made it to Eretz Yisrael, was trampled, whether that's apocryphal or real. Now that's the Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. So the Ibn Ezra says, I was asked by Rabbi Yehuda Halevi the following question. Lama hizkir anochi Hashem lokecha asher hotzeisicha me'eretz Mitzrayim v'lo amar she'asisi shemayim v'aretz v'ani asisicha. Why does Hashem introduce himself to us in the first commandment as, I am the Lord your God who did what? Who took you out of Egypt. What would have been more impressive? What is the greatest thing on God's resume? Assuming that it's a good strategy to lead with your greatest accomplishment, why does Hashem not lead the Aseres HaDibros with his greatest accomplishment? What's his greatest accomplishment? Taking us out of Egypt or creating the world? Ask Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, creating the world is clearly the greater accomplishment. Creating ex nihilo, one of the few Latin terms all Jews know, creating something from nothing. When we create, we are really bogus creators. I go to Home Depot, and I buy the materials, and I claim that I built something. In my kitchen, I start with the ingredients, and I claim that I cooked something. A husband and a wife, they start with the ingredients, and if they're blessed, they cook up a healthy, beautiful child. But in every example of creation that we go through, we are given and gifted those ingredients. We get the benefit and the luxury of starting with the materials and the ingredients. God is the only one in all of history who started with no ingredients and created the very building blocks, the very materials and ingredients from which he created. So that is the most impressive thing he or anyone has ever done, to create what's called ex nihilo, something from nothing. Yesh me'ayin, to create something from nothing. So why doesn't Hashem say to us at our Sinai, Shalom Aleichem Kla Yisrael, welcome to my mountain. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, it's nice to meet you, I'm the Lord your God. And if you're curious who I am, and you're trying to put me in a context, and you want to know who I am, Ani Yasisi Shemayim Va'aretz. I created, heaven and earth. Everything you're enjoying, everything you're benefiting from, everything that you love, this world that you live in, the cosmos, the universe, all me. All me. There was nothing. You can't even imagine what nothingness looks like because you're something. But there was nothing, trust me. And I created Shemayim Va'aretz. I created everything, something from nothing. Nice to meet you. Instead, Hashem skips right over that. And he says, Shalom Aleichem Klal Yisrael. Welcome to my mountain. Nice to see you again. To remind you who I am, I'm the one who just took you out of Egypt. All the fanfare, pomp and circumstance, the light and sound show, 10 plagues, splitting of the sea, that was me. Nice to see you again. I am the Lord your God. I took you out of Egypt. Asks the Kuzari to Rav Avram ibn Ezra, why didn't God start with his most impressive and more impressive feat? The Kuzari quotes this question too. Not coincidentally, if it was the result of a conversation he had with the Ibn Ezra, it makes sense to be alluded to both in the Ibn Ezra as well as the Kuzari. By the way, if you want to know more about the Kuzari, you can find online on YU Torah or RabbiEfraimGoldberg.org. We did a series of great classes, the people of the book, and I taught one of them on Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, the great Kuzari, his background, his relationship, and so on. So the Kuzari also asked this question. For sake of time, let's look at it in the English. Kuzari wasn't written in the Hebrew anyway, so you might as well read it in the translation of the English. And he says the following. Kuzari is a compilation of a conversation. The Kuzari king has a dream where he's told that your intentions are wonderful, but your practices are corrupt. Meaning, it's beautiful that you want to connect with God, but you're going about it all wrong. He wakes up and he says he has to explore the truth of the world. So he meets with a representative of Islam, and he meets with a representative of Christianity, and then he meets with the rabbi. And it wouldn't be part of our library if the conversation with the rabbi wasn't the bulk of the book, and he didn't conclude the rabbi was correct. He concludes the rabbi is correct, and ultimately converts, and converts the entire Khazar people. In the beautiful introduction, Rabbi Karapkin's version of this translation of the Kuzari with his commentary, he tells the history. Historians actually have identified the Khazar people and its king, who all converted en masse to Judaism. So that is a brief summary overview of the Kuzari. So in their conversation, the rabbi says, this is exactly the way I responded to you when we first made your inquiry. This is how Moshe first spoke with Paro when he told him the God of the Hebrews had sent him. Moshe referred to God as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because it was well known among the nations of the time that Hashem had communicated with these men, guided them, performed miracles for them. Note that Moshe did not say God of heaven and earth had sent him, nor did he refer to him as who created us all. Similarly, when Hashem spoke to us at our Sinai, he said, Anochi Hashem lokecha, I took you out of Egypt, not I created heaven and earth. This is how I started to respond when you asked me about my faith. I answered, what I and the rest of the Jewish people are obliged to believe based on our first-hand encounter with God. We've passed down this account without interruption from generation to generation, and so even today, it is as if we are eyewitness to the event. In the Kuzari, he answers the very question that he posed to the Ibn Ezra in the commentary of the Ibn Ezra. How does he answer? Why does God introduce himself with taking you out of Egypt rather than creation? For a very simple reason. Raise your hand if you were there when God created the world. I'm not suggesting any of you look that old. I'm simply making a point, which is, none of us were there by definition. Nobody was witness to God creating the whole universe. So that is something distant from us. That's not relatable. It's not accessible. It's not a first-hand knowledge that we have that was transmitted down to us. It's something we read about. It's something we've learned about. It's something we take the leap of faith about. It's something that we believe, but none of us were there. No one was there. So no one can testify and start a chain of testimony that God created the heaven and earth, even though we know it to be true. All that is in great contrast and contradistinction to being taken out of Egypt. How do I know we were taken out of Egypt? Again, all of you are so young. None of you were there. None of us were there. So how do I know Hashem took us out of Egypt? Because I heard about it from my parents, who heard it from their parents, who heard it from their parents, who heard it from their parents, who were there, who were present. So this is part of our family narrative. It's part of our family story. I don't believe Hashem took us out of Egypt because I read about it in a book. I don't believe it because I heard it in a history class. I know it to be true. Why? As much as I know any other truth. Because it's part of my family narrative. It was passed down generation to generation until my parents gave that testimony to me, going all the way back to the people who were first there and who experienced it. So Hashem says, you know what my relationship with you is based on? Do you know how I want you to connect with me? Not through an abstract idea you read in a book, but through your family story. I want you to know I'll be there for you like I was there for your great-great-grandparents. And just as much as you believe and you know it to be true that I did that for them because you heard that story for your family, so too I want you to know and believe that I'll do it for you and that I am doing it for you. So the whole relationship of the Anochi Hashem Elokecha is based not on an experience no one was present for, the creation of the world, but rather is based on the experience that we were all and all of our ancestors were present for, namely the Exodus from Mitzrayim. So 6:13 down to 10, down 10 to 2, 2 down to 1, and the 1, which is the source and basis of our whole relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam, with Hashem, is all based on that 1, is all based on not a leap of faith. I don't believe God exists, and I don't believe He's involved in my life because I'm taking a leap of faith, because I've been asked to. I know it to be true, because it's been passed down to my family by people who are eyewitness testimony, by people who firsthand experience, who transmitted it through the family till my parents told it to me. That's how I know it to be true. That's the basis of my whole relationship with Hashem. The last source I have here, we're not going to read it inside. It's long and it's very beautiful. It's from Rav Chanan Vasim in Kovetz Mamorim, in his Maimar al Amuna. Rav Chanan Vasim and Hashem Yikom Damo, murdered by the Nazis, 1874 to 1941, a great student of the Chafetz Chaim, the Rosh Shiva Baranovich. The great Rav Chanan asks the following very, very difficult and compelling question. He says, I don't understand. There's a mitzvah. Let's go like the Rambam. There's a mitzvah to have faith in God. How do I know it? The Aseres HaDibros, the first of the Ten Commandments, I am the Lord your God, have faith in God. So what happens? A bar mitzvah boy, this little pisha, this little kid, turns 13. A bat mitzvah, a bas mitzvah girl, she turns 12. And overnight, in an instant, they become obligated in all of Torah and mitzvahs. What's the first mitzvah they do? I spoke about this recently at a bar mitzvah on Zoom. What's the very first mitzvah they're commanded in? Some say the first mitzvah is Kabbalah Sol Machu Shemaim, belief in God. But the Chassam Sofer, in his commentary on Chumash and Parshas Vayechi, says no. You know what the very first mitzvah, a bar or bat mitzvah girl or boy are obligated in the moment the clock turns their magic day? The very first mitzvah they're obligated in is to be besimcha, to smile. The very first mitzvah is be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Then you get to the rest of the mitzvahs. Make a bracha on a cup of water, Kabbalah Samach Lushanayim, say Shema. But the very first mitzvah that they encounter when they go from being a child to an adult, the very first mitzvah is to be besimcha. Such a beautiful insight of the Chassam Sofer. So Rav Chanan has the following question. He writes, and these are his words, not mine. He says, I don't understand. Tinok ben yudge moshana, tinok bas yud beishana, ki beinan ha'imuna nechshelo ha-philosophim, ha-yosek gedolim kama aristo, the greatest philosophers in all of history struggled to take that leap of faith. Aristotle, Rav Chanan Vasim, is alluded, he writes Aristotle, aristo, Aristotle, Asha Rambam Heid Alav, Shekolu L'moshe Minavua, Sichlohu L'moshe Minavua. The Rambam says about Aristotle, he had a greatness, a great philosophical mind. And Aristotle, who labored and toiled and debated and analyzed and plumbed the depths to try to discover whether God exists. So the great mind of Aristotle struggled with God's existence, but we turn to this 12 or 13-year-old kid who made a logo for their yarmulke and a theme for their party, and the kid is still a little immature kid, and we say to this kid, now all of a sudden, overnight, you're obligated to have faith in Hashem. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Says Rav Chanan, I don't understand it. How can we obligate that on a kid? Adults are struggling with faith in God. Aristotle struggled with faith in God. And this little kid you're telling, because it was your bar bas mitzvah, all of a sudden overnight, now you have to believe in God? How is that possible? How is it possible, asks Rabbi Chanan. And he gives a magnificent answer. It's the answer I want to leave you with today. He gives a magnificent answer. He says, every one of us, from the moment we're born, know that there's a creator, there's a God. Just like a little baby knows that they don't come from nowhere, they have parents. And that their parents have parents, and their parents' parents have parents. So too, every child, as they mature, as they grow, from infancy, adolescence, we know that we don't come from nowhere. Because if we look back far enough, we know that at the end of that long chain of my parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, who created them and who got this all started is a being who created the whole universe. The first cause is the Ribono Shel Olam. Everybody in their Pintle Yid, in their boich, in their instinct, everybody in their kishkas intuits and knows that there's someone and something greater than themselves, there's a God. Says Rav Chanan, it's not that the bar bat mitzvah child, you have to teach them there's a God when they turn 12 or 13. It's the opposite. The mitzvahs on the parent, don't mess it up. Don't make them grow cynical or sarcastic like too many adults. Don't have them become hardened to the point that they don't even know if there's a God anymore. When they were 2 and 3 and 8 and 9 and 10 and 12, they knew there was a God. My children, Baruch Hashem, my young children, you make brachas out loud and you thank Hashem and you look for Hashem and you talk about Hashem and you see Hashem's hand in your life and they start doing it too. My 7-year-old son leaves messages on our WhatsApp Emuna Hashgacha Pratis group all the time where he tries to communicate the Hashgacha Pratis in his life. His stories are hilarious of the Hashgacha Pratis in his life. I shared one living in the Emuna recently when he discovered that he had not closed the fly of his pants. But rather than be embarrassed, he said, oh, it was Hashgacha Pratis, because mommy told him to get undressed for bedtime, and he was already well on his way because he never closed the fly in his pants. Hashgacha Pratis. Many adults would not view that as a Hashgacha Pratis story. For a 7-year-old boy, that was a great Hashgacha Pratis. Do you understand that he sees now Hashem as guiding whether he remembered to close the zipper on his pants? 7 years old. When he becomes 17 years old, and I would try to tell him, Hashem is involved in whether you remember to close the zipper on your pants, it's going to be a lot harder. Says Rav Chanan, 7-year-old kid, everyone knows, I have a mommy and an abba, and I have a saba and a safta and a bubby and a zaidi, and I have a great bubby and a great zaidi, and it goes all the way back, there's someone who started it all. And good parenting talks to their children and grandchildren about Hashem. Make brachas out loud, thank Hashem, ask Hashem, protest against Hashem, but whatever you do, talk all the time about Hashem. Ha'amanti ki adaber. I believe because I talk about Him. Talk about Hashem and that child will see Hashem everywhere too, and that child will leave Hashgacha Pratis messages in your family WhatsApp group about seeing Hashem. What happens when you become a teenager? Too many people grow cynical and sarcastic. They start to question, they start to doubt, they start to walk away. That's what the mitzvah is. Says Rav Chanan, you don't have to introduce emunah, you have to make sure that you don't eliminate or squash or extinguish the emunah that's burning within the child. It's an entirely different perspective and approach, such a beautiful insight of Rav Chanan. We went from 6:13 to 10, from 10 to 2, from 2 to 1. I'll end by telling you that even the 1 can go to the first word. The entire Torah can be summarized and subsumed in the opening word, Anochi. Everything is in Anochi. Is in the fact that there are two Anochis in this world. We can live with our Anochi, our sense of id, ego, my I, or God's Anochi. The fact that there's an omnipotent, providential, dominant God in this world. Which is it? Do I put myself first, or do I submit to Him? Am I in charge, or do I realize He's in control? Does the world serve me, or do I serve Him by trying to repair and improve His world? Pasuk says, Anochi omed beini uveinichem. Anochi, I stand between you and Moshe tells the people, Anochi, I'm standing between you and God. But our commentaries tell us, don't read it that way, read it. You know what stands between us and God? When you put the wrong Anochi. When you put your ego, Anochi omid beinu veinechem. When you put your Anochi, when you put your ego, it stands between you and God. So in that choice, between our Anochi or His Anochi, we should submit to His Anochi. I want to bless everybody. We should have a beautiful Kabbalah HaTorah together, collectively, individually, happy, healthy, and holy, that we should observe all 613 mitzvos. We should understand the significance of the Aseres HaDibros. We should see the first two, that we serve Him, and if we fail to, we're actually worshiping another, worshiping ourselves over Him, that we should live and merit the reality of that first Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and in fact, in the competition between our Anochi and His, we should always defer to His Anochi. Have a beautiful and wonderful day.